All right. Thank you for the opportunity, Pastor. I have a great idea for our parking lot. I think we should just tent the whole thing, amen. And then, we could be socially distancing and merge churches with other churches. And it would just be a great time together. Of course, God has worked it out for us to be able to meet together in here. I think this is my first time, I'm not sure, that I get to preach for a while in front of a big group of people. So this is pretty awesome here. Socially distanced, big group of people. I want to make that clear for the live stream audience there. Let's go to Lord in prayer real quick, and we'll get right into it. Father, thank you for the opportunity that I have to preach thy word. Lord, it's never a small thing. Whenever your word is preached, something great can happen. Of course, that's highly dependent upon our spirit toward your word, our spirit toward the Holy Spirit's convictions. I really do pray, dear God, that tonight you will move among each and every row, move among my family, move among me. I really do pray, Lord, that you would meet with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. It has been said that all of our problems are prayer problems. We've often heard that. Most Christians seem to look everywhere and anywhere for help or for life's answers, but to God. Just as we should with anything that is important in our lives, we should take a small moment to evaluate and examine our prayer life. How much do we really, really pray? You know, someone once said that many people pray as if God were a big aspirin pill. You know, I've been taking a lot of pain medication for my tooth pains. And I'll be honest with you, I've always heard about people getting addicted to pain medication. Now, fortunately, it's only been 3 years where I've taken it every day. No, that's not true, okay? But I can see why, man, that ibuprofen 800 milligram, I have quite a few left. Let me know if you want some, all right? But man, that toothache, and it would just be throbbing. I put that pain medication in there, pray as well, and then that pain medicine, that pain would just go away. But many people pray as if God were a big aspirin pill. They come to God only when it hurts. And by the way, I hope that's not true for us. A survey revealed that the average Christian prays for 1 minute per day. When I first heard this as a freshman in Bible college, I was astonished at it. And I actually refuted that this was accurate at all. Because 1 minute, that seems so little if you think about it. I mean, which Christian would pray for only 1 minute a day? I remember when my professor challenged us to measure our own prayer time. At first, it just didn't sound like the right thing to do. I mean, who measures their prayer time? That just sounds very prideful, right? And then he reminded us that we measure everything else that's important to us. We measure meticulously when we are dieting. You know, when I go shopping for food, I look at the price. Other people turn the labels around, and they spend 30 minutes looking at the nutritional facts. How many carbs will I eat? Will I intake when I have 4 pieces of chips? I'll tell you what, put the box away and you'll have 0 carbs, okay? You'll be fine. How many calories? How many this? How much sodium? We measure. We measure our finances through budgeting and savings. Do I have enough money coming in to take care of the appetite that I have right now, okay? We're measuring. We measure our ministries by setting goals, and there's nothing wrong with this, but we have attendance goals. We take averages. We have goals for fall program, for spring program. Nothing wrong with that. We have a Bible reading schedule to help us make sure that we're reading the Bible consistently. And many of us, we have the goal of reading our Bible through in 1 year. So what do? We measure 3 to 4 chapters a day will help me get to the one reading the Bible through one time a year. And others read more than that. And that's a wonderful thing. We've heard this often. What gets measured gets done. But when I heard that the request was made by our professor for us to measure our prayer time, it bothered me. Maybe, perhaps, I just didn't want to know how long I actually prayed. I was fine with just assuming that my prayer life was what it should be, right? The assumption is a wonderful thing. Brother Joseph talked about assumption on one of the daily updates there. However, if you were to ask me to guess how much I prayed collectively, if you were to ask me as a Bible college student how much I prayed collectively, or how much I thought I prayed, I would have told you 10 minutes conservatively per day, Mrs. Stein. And I would have said that with a humble spirit. I would have said, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Easily. I mean, maybe more, but I don't want to say. 10 minutes? I think I prayed collectively for at least 10 minutes. Boy, was I wrong. Don't leave on me here, okay? That was in Bible college. Boy, was I wrong. My morning prayer, I measured it. It came up to a whopping 30 seconds. I thought I prayed for everything. Good night. I thought, Man, I felt like my prayer list was the size of an encyclopedia, but 30 seconds. I mean, and to get it to 30 seconds, I had to like repeat a couple of things and even say, oh, Lord, five extra times, okay? And then each of my meal prayers, here we go. I know a lot of us have never measured our meal prayers, right? Guess what? 10 seconds. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this food that you provided for me and my family. You're a wonderful God. Oh, God, bless it now. In Jesus' name, amen. You see that? 10 seconds, and I had three meals a day. Okay, that's 30 seconds. My good night prayer, I was a lot more spiritual. I prayed for 1 minute. I measured it. Prayed for my family really, really quickly. I prayed for my church back at home really, really quickly. I prayed for a good night. I prayed in the dorms that my roommates would not snore too loud really, really quickly. 1 minute. So collectively, the sum of my prayer as a Bible college student, as a freshman, but as a Bible college student, was only 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Better than average, no doubt. But is that what I was really shooting for as a Christian? To be able to say, hey, I want the ministry. I want to live for God. I want to build a great work for the Lord one day. I pray 2 minutes a day. I talk to my God 2 minutes a day. No doubt, I was very, very convicted. You see, in my mind, I thought I was faithful in prayer. I thought I was sufficiently walking with God and talking with him. In my mind, I thought I was okay. But it wasn't until I took the time to examine my prayer life. You know, recently, the last couple of months, I sat down and I examined how much time I was spending with my family, and it wasn't what I wanted it to be. And by the way, I spend time with my family, even before a couple months ago. However, as a father, as a Christian father that has a direction for his children, that has a goal for his marriage, I was not happy with the time that I was giving to my family. I mean, I was busy, just like all of us are busy. So within the last couple of months, and my wife will realize this, I strategically purposely scheduled and found ways to do more things with my son. During that time, I taught three of my kids to ride their bikes. I mean, I just, good night. They're like, Dad, it's good to see you finally, okay? And that's why they got it down, because they wanted to make me happy. During that time, I've been able to go out on vacation with my children, take them places, and just be with my kids and spend more time with my wife. You know why I grew as a father and as a husband? Because I took the time to examine. I took the time to examine. You know, in this service, we have Christians. We're filled with Christians here today. We have newer Christians. We have seasoned Christians. We have some Christians in here undoubtedly that pray for 20 minutes or more a day. We have other Christians like me as a Bible college student couldn't break the 2 minute mark. But one thing that we all have in common is that we are in need to pray more, amen? We need to pray more. My question for us this evening is very, very simple. How is our prayer life? How is our prayer life? Not how many ministries we're involved with. How is our prayer life? Not how many sharp suits and modest dresses that we have in our closet, but how is our prayer life? Not whether or not we have our children in Christian school, but how is our prayer life? You see, if we're not careful, we work on everything that everybody sees, but we forget about the time that God looks forward to most, which is that prayer time. That prayer time. Perhaps one of the reasons why our prayer life is not more of what it could be is because we need to give it more personal attention. I hope we can do that. We can do that tonight. I'd like to share 3 points real quick that should give us a simple guide to prayer. I had a lot more points, but Brother Bachardo last week, brother, you preached for like 15 minutes, man. That was rough. I felt convicted when I was putting this sermon together. Anyhow, we are going to go a little bit longer than that. 3 points that should give us a simple guide to prayer. Number one, what exactly is prayer? The Merriam-Webster dictionary or definition of prayer is simply put as an address or petition to God in word or thought. Perhaps our prayer is asking specific things from God and receiving them. By the way, that ought to be the pattern of our life. You know, we ought not just to be praying amiss. We ought to pray understanding that God wants us to receive what we pray for. Prayer is having a two-way fellowship with our God. It's not just talking to God, but talking with God. Have you ever talked to someone and you start off the conversation, they take that conversation over, and you can never get it back? The only thing that you have room to say is, and you try to say anything else, they'll overstep you and take that conversation back. It's called a one-person conversation. By the way, God doesn't want that.
God wants us to pray and fellowship with him. Now, of course, we understand that prayer is talking to God, but there's that word Selah where sometimes as we're praying, we just stop and allow God to speak back to us. If we reduce prayer to its most fundamental element, it is simply nothing more and nothing less than talking with our God. Someone once said, prayer is the language of man burdened with a sense of need. I have a question for you tonight. Do you have a need tonight? Is there something that you need God to do in your life? Maybe it's a health problem, and you've gone to the medication. You've gone to the ibuprofen, amen. You've gone to the doctors, and there doesn't seem to be anything that can get you where you need to be. Maybe prayer is your answer. Maybe you're struggling right now with your marriage, and praise the Lord if you're here together, but the both of you know as husband and wife that there's a lot more that God can do in your marriage to get you where you need to be. And you've tried a lot of different things. You've ordered some books. You've listened to some sermon tapes. But maybe it's prayer that you need. You need to get on your knees. How much have you prayed for your marriage? You know, I don't counsel as many people as Pastor Myers, that's for sure. But when people come to me with their problems, marital, with children, or anything, I ask them often, how much do you pray about it? Okay, brother, try this. Great. I'm like, well, what can you do to help me? I can help you by reminding you to pray about it. Maybe some of us have lost sight of our children. Maybe for some of us, we have no control over them. You know, you hear often about one of the biggest sources of stress in a home is an undisciplined child. And by the way, that's true. And we tried everything, bribery and threatenings and this, that, or the other. But maybe we haven't prayed for them. Or if we did pray for them, we didn't put much time in prayer for them. That's very important. A.W. Tozier said, prayer is God's plan to supply man's great and continuous need with God's great and continuous abundance. I remember there was a preacher, Brother Panero. I don't know if you remember him, Pastor. Brother Panero, one of my favorite preachers. He preached in chapel. And he talked about how God has a treasure chest. And all the kids are like, whoa. And he talked about all the things that are in there. Man, God's future mate, God's provisions, God's power, God's protection. All these wonderful things are found in that treasure chest. And he got our attention. And he said, you know how you can access that treasure chest? Prayer. Prayer is that key. You want to get God's power? Pray about it. You want God's wisdom? Pray about it. You want God's protection? You've got to pray about it. You want God's will? Pray about it. We need prayer to be the key to God's treasure chest of resources in our life. Maybe the reason why we're so depleted of the resources of God is because we haven't found ourselves on our knees enough. Let's pray. Let's pray more. Aren't you glad that God hears our prayer, God heeds our prayer, God answers our prayer, and God delivers by prayer? So number one, what exactly is prayer? Number two, the elements of prayer. Now this is very, very elementary for many of us. I get it, but I don't want to assume that all of us understand some ways that we can improve our prayer life. But elements of prayer. Number one, actually look at verse number 9 of our passage of scripture there in Matthew chapter number 6. This is the model prayer that Pastor Bruchado read. Now, this doesn't mean that this is how we are supposed to pray exactly as far as memorizing it word for word, but God gives us an idea of how to talk to him. You know, as a new Christian, I remember someone telling me, you know what, it doesn't matter how you talk to God. God understands that you're a new Christian. You just talk to God. And I kind of agree with that, but at the same time, God expects us to learn how to talk to him. You know, you go visit the king or you go visit the queen or you go talk to somebody very important. Generally, they will teach you how to respond to them. They will teach you what to say. They will teach you not what to say. And let me say this. If there's anybody that's royalty out there, it's God. We need to go to him with the right ways that he expects us to. The elements of prayer, chapter 6, verse number 9 of Matthew, the Bible says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. It starts off with, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. By the way, what a great way to start off our prayer life. Hallowed means holy, revered, and honored. Basically, we are to praise and worship God for who he is. However, the most common way that many of us treat prayer is like a whining list. Come on now. It's a whining list. We get on our knees right away or we pray in our car. Dear God, I need this. Oh God, help me out with that. Dear Lord, I have this interview here, God. And then, oh, I'm not feeling very well. I got a toothache here, God. I got a backache here. Oh God, help my family. Help, 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 help. And we skip the most important part, which is letting God know how great he is. And listen, I get it. I'm sure that many of us pray in here, but if we're skipping the most important part, how do we expect God to answer our prayer if we've never shown him the worth that he is in our life? God is precious. God is wonderful. The most important way to begin prayer is by getting our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength fully focused on our great God. Okay, here's a common example. You have a date night with your wife, and I'm guilty of this a few times. Okay, you have that time with your wife. What are you generally on, men? Your Bible app on your phone. No, ESPN, amen. You have that. She doesn't have your attention. Now, my wife's a good woman because she still keeps talking, amen. That's good. She's properly trained, amen. Now, she just keeps going. I'm like, this is good. See, she's allowing me to be me. But it's not a very productive conversation when I'm not focused on her, when I'm not fully devoted to what we are doing. And by the way, that's often how prayer is played out in our lives. We got the music going on. We got the TV on. You know, my son, he's reading his Bible, and sometimes he'll, sorry, CJ, I love you very much, though, okay? You're doing great. Better than me when I was your age, right? However, he'll like to, if the kids are playing, he'll like to read his Bible where they are, and I can just catch him just kind of looking over at them, taking an hour just to read like five verses. He's not fully devoted to what he's doing. When we start prayer with adoration, we are allowing ourselves to get our heart, soul, and mind and strength fully focused on God, getting ready for that prayer session. One of my Bible college teachers in prayer class, he said, when you pray, something amazing is about to take place. Get ready for it. That's what he said, and that's our attitude that we should have toward prayer, adoration. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe that you are talking to a holy God when you pray? Do you truly believe that whatever needs you're about to bring to your Savior, whatever request that you're about to make known to your God, that he is somebody, the only person that can meet those needs? If we go to God, we must believe that he is God. Acknowledge God for everything he is to us and focus our thoughts on him alone. Got a question for you tonight. What does God mean to you? What does God mean to you? You know, oftentimes during birthdays or anniversaries or special occasions, Valentine's Days, we'll write a little note to our loved ones, to our spouses, to our whoever it may be. Here's what you mean to me. Here's what you have done for me. Here's how you've changed my life. Here's how much I love you. Well, guess what? That's how you start your prayer off with God. You know, one of my favorite memories of the Christian school, and some of you will remember this, is when I taught Bible class, and I had a couple of weeks that I was in there. I don't remember exactly where I think I taught it that year, and I had about a one-month series on prayer. And I remember, some of you are nodding your head, I remember I had some of the high school students, you know, sometimes it was hard to get their attention. I had the high school students raise their hand and tell me what God meant to them. And at first it was a little shaky, you know, people were kind of embarrassed and they didn't want to really be the first. Then you had students just raising their hand, and I call them, what does God mean to you? And one of them would say, you know, Brother Charlie, I just thank God for his long suffering. They couldn't even make eye contact with me. I just thank God for his long suffering. I mean, he puts up with me, Brother Charlie. I mean, you don't understand how much I want to do right with God and do right for God, but I keep on falling, and he's so patient with me, Brother Charlie. And they kept on going on. Someone else, he's so gracious. He gives me so many things that I don't deserve. I mean, man, if he just gave me a family and gave me a church and gave me salvation, that would be enough. But he gives me far beyond what I deserve. He's so gracious to me, Brother Charlie. Mercy. You see, Brother Charlie, you don't understand. Before I came to this Christian school, man, my life was horrible. I spoke back to my mom. I cursed at my parents. I was violent. I got in fights. I was just a mess. But God, so merciful to give me a new start, to give me a new opportunity. By the way, what does God mean to you? We're not going to do it tonight. But I wonder if I were to ask our members in here tonight to stand up and raise your hand and let me know, let God know what he means to you, what would you be able to say? Would it be something that would be easy to come off of our lips, or would we have to kind of think about it where we're like, wow, I haven't really thought about that? By the way, God has been wonderful. So the first way to start off prayer, I encourage you, is to use adoration, to adore God. Let him know what he means to you. And then you can jump to confession, letter B. Matthew 6:12, the Bible says, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This next element of confession is where we respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction of sin, that we might ask God for forgiveness. And by the way, the Holy Spirit convicts us if we're saved. And we have two responses. We can dismiss it, or we can respond to it. It's kind of like when I have an issue with somebody. It could be anybody, you know, not that I argue ever with my wife, but let's just assume, okay? Thank you for moving her up here closer to everybody where they can see her, okay? I'm sure she'll appreciate that. There you go. Get it out the way. Go ahead, right there, right there, right there, right there. Thank you. But if we have an issue together, okay, that conviction of, man, Charlie, you need to apologize. Man, Charlie, you were a little rough there. I mean, I know that meal didn't taste that good, but you didn't have to tell her. Man, hon, I get good night, Charlie. Why'd you have to comment on her height for? Just kidding, all right, I'm going too far here. Why did you have to mention her in preaching? And it's that conviction. You know what God wants you to do with that conviction? He wants you to turn it into confession. He wants you to get it right with him. Our confession of sin at the time of salvation is vital in getting saved. However, our confession of sin after salvation is not to stay saved, because once we're saved, we're always saved. Thank God for that. But it is to stay in fellowship with Christ. You know, I hate conflict. I really do. I hate just being in situations where it's just uneasy, where you're talking to somebody and you feel like you're walking on eggshells. How many have ever been in that situation where it's just like, man, it's not worth getting an argument right now? There's certain people that I've had in my life where I just try to stay away from it, man, because I don't like that whole feeling. It's a horrible feeling. But you know, whenever you have the opportunity to confess and get something right, don't push it to the side. Because it never gets easier. Conviction is a tool that God gives us so that we can stay in fellowship with him. One of my family members, I won't say who, there was a season in my life, it was probably one of the most horrible seasons that I remember. There was an issue that you know, we had together, and it just wasn't good, but I knew that as a Christian, the direction that I wanted to live, I could not allow this to sit. I couldn't. I wanted to be in ministry at that time. I wanted to have a fruitful marriage. I wanted to do something for God. Even if in my mind, I truly thought that I wasn't completely in the wrong. Me just being honest. I knew that I had to respond as a Christian, though. I knew I had to respond correctly because there was something that I could have done better, right? And so I went. I remember I got some, expensive fake edible arrangements. Good night. I saw somebody had that. I'm thinking, okay, 20, 30 bucks. Yeah, 20, 30 bucks, you get like 12 strawberries. So I spent like 70 bucks, and I'm thinking, man, I should at least eat half of this to make it feel worth it. And I remember driving to their house. I had Brother Adrian with me. He's in the mission field, amen. Driving to his house and just rehearsing it. Just don't talk right now, Adrian. Let me just talk to myself. How I was going to apologize. Okay, I'm sorry, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just thinking, man, what? It's just easier. You know what? I could just mark them out of my life and just move on. It should be fine. But you know what? God allowed the conviction that he gave me to turn into confession. And now that relationship's restored. Thank God for that. Don't allow any ought in your life to go without confession. Confession is the road to restoration. When we confess our sins, God forgives us instantly. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A great tip also is to keep short accounts with God. You know, there's an illustration I heard. I forget the name of the preacher. It might have been Charles Spurgeon or D.L. Moody, maybe. Maybe D.L. Moody. You're right, Brother Chardo. You can lose your voice real quick up here. D.L. Moody. I think he was walking across the street. I could be wrong, Brother Joseph, but he was walking across the street with one of his friends, stopped in the middle of the road, bowed his head for a prayer, and then continued walking. It was a busy road. And then his friend, when he got to the other side, said, hey, what are you doing stopping in the middle of the road while you're crossing the street? He said, oh, I'm sorry about that. I had a bad thought. I had to get right with God. And then the guy said, well, that's great, but why couldn't you just wait until you cross the street to get it right with God? He looked at his friend and said, because I didn't want to be in broken fellowship with God for that long. By the way, that's convicting. Because the truth of the matter is, many of us, and I've been guilty of this, we wait till the very end to put all of our sins together, right? Says, all right, God, here we go. Sorry, Lord, I lived a horrible, and we generalize our confession to God. All right, God, I know I fell short today, and you know what they are because you're God, right? And then we confess, but God looks at us and go, wow. You know, I don't know about you, but when someone wrongs me and they can apologize to me, I'm all for that. I want that. But I kind of want to know that they know what they did wrong. I don't want them just to say, I'm sure I hurt you because you look like you're mad at me. I mean, you look like you're not very happy with me right now, so let's just get this over with. No, I want them to say, hey, listen, I get it. I know what I did was wrong, and I shouldn't have done that, and I was not considerate about you or this, that, and the other. We should be very specific with God, and we should keep short accounts. John R. Rice, he did this as well. He would go every night before he went to bed. I heard that he would write his sins for that day on a pieces of paper, and he would flush it down the toilet. Just to run, that'd take me forever, amen. So good night. But he would do that. Why? Because he wanted to make sure his relationship with God was clear and was good. Got a question for you tonight. Is there something that you have not confessed to God yet that quite possibly could be hindering your prayers? Quite possibly could be hindering God's blessings in your life? Oh, get that right. Get that right. God doesn't keep throwing our sin, by the way, back at us when we confess. That's the good news. You know, some people, when you confess to them, they like to hold it over your head. Well, you know, I just want to let you know I was really hurt. Okay, well, I'm sorry, and that's why I'm saying sorry. Well, I just want to let you know, I mean, this edible arrangement looks, this person did not say this, right? They probably thought it, but, you know, this is really nice, but I mean, to be honest with you, it should have been bigger. Should have been bigger the way that I felt. I still feel it to this day. You don't need to do that. You know who does that? The devil does that. Loves to hang sin over our head. When we confess our sins in prayer, God is quick to forgive us. So the first element is adoration. Second is confession. Third is thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How thankful are you tonight? How thankful? Our thanksgiving and prayer is our time to acknowledge all blessings that come our way come from God alone. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I remember one of my classes, and some of you might remember this as well. I don't know if it was U.S. history or what class it was, but I remember we're doing blessing time, and everyone kept on raising their hand and saying that I'm thankful my dad did this, I'm thankful brother so-and-so did this, and I'm thankful so-and-so did this, and something kind of came over me. And I just wanted to say, what did God do for you guys today? Follow me here. What did God do for you today? Because I believe sometimes, and I get it, God is the source of all of our blessings, but a lot of times we give the credit to other people instead of giving it to God. Well, I'm thankful that your mom gave that to you, but you know who equipped your mom with the job to be able to afford that? God did. I'm thankful that brother so-and-so was a blessing to you with his sermon or with whatever, devotion, whatever it was. But you know who gave them the strength and the wisdom to be able to share that with you? God did. And I think a lot of times God stares down from his throne and he sees all these people getting credit for the very things that he does for us. God is the source of everything good that goes on in our life. Thank him for it. Thank him for it. It's not a bad habit to say, I'm thankful that God allowed so-and-so to do this. I'm thankful that God allowed so-and-so to do that for me. That's not a bad habit. God is the giver of everything. Be careful not to assume that God sees our gratitude, but rather make it clear to him every single day. You know, what do you always look forward to? Or maybe you shouldn't, but when you do something for someone, when I do something for someone, I like the thanks. I really do. There was a teenager, I don't see him here today, maybe he's working, Anthony Hem. That guy used to irritate me with his, how much gratitude he had. Take him out to eat. Hey, Anthony, you want to go out to eat? Sure, Brother Charlie. Thank you. All right, cool. Go pick him up. Hey, Anthony, come on in, man. All right, thanks, Brother Charlie. Thanks. Okay, man, good. Go out to eat, man. Oh, man, start ordering. Oh, thanks, Brother Charlie, man. It's going to be good. Thanks, Brother Charlie. Hey, man, you're like 17 already. Okay, we're good. Get the food, man, thank God, and then thank me again. I'm like, hey, be quiet, okay? I don't want your gratitude, all right? Just eat the food. All right, thank you, Brother Charlie. Okay, no, stop it. Oh, and by the way, when I heard that, it meant, by the way, that's why he's a smart guy. I probably spent like $1,000 on him during his high school years going out to eat. Whenever I had a craving for Korean barbecue, I just took him out to eat. You know why? Because he said thank you. Praise the Lord for that. But don't assume that God sees our gratitude. God wants to hear it. You know, God knows I'm thankful. Why don't you just tell him?
Why don't you just let him know in prayer that you are thankful? Before we ever jump to our supplications, which we'll talk about next, before we ever talk about or let him know the needs that we have, it wouldn't be a bad idea to say, Lord, before I ever let you know the burdens and the heartaches that I have, before I ever let you know the needs of my family members, I want to let you know that I'm thankful, dear God. Number one, for my salvation. I'm thankful for all that you've done for me. I'm thankful for you sustaining my life and giving me health, just enough health to be faithful to you, dear God. Thank you for everything that I have. Thank you, God. And by the way, our last point under the elements of prayer is supplication. This is our favorite part. Verse number 11, chapter 6, the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. This is the element in which we get to bring our request to God. And by the way, let me say this. God wants to hear your prayer. God wants to hear your prayer. Yes, God knows your needs before you ever utter them, but he still wants to hear you methodically go over each and every need that you have because he wants to see clearly that you believe that he is able to meet your needs. Give your supplication and your prayer request to God. Don't feel bad about that. This could be our needs. This could be the needs that other people have that we are praying for. With the multitude of needs that we may have, let's be careful not to be too general. By the way, I wrote down here, this is the biggest reason why our prayer time with God is so short. I remember we had, I don't know if they still do this at Golden State Baptist College, but they had all-day prayer. What that meant was class at 8 o'clock we met, 12 o'clock we're done. Man, I'm confessing my sin like crazy here. I'm unqualifying myself to preach right now. And man, I was excited. Brother Treber's like, oh, we're going to pray all day. Here we go. Go somewhere that you're not going to fall asleep, and we're just going to get a hold of God. You guys are training for the ministry. You got to learn how to get a hold of God. What's the time frame? 8:15 to 12 o'clock. Okay. All right. It's going to be good. I remember I went to one of the buses in the bus barn. I should probably stand up here, sorry. And I remember thinking to myself, man, this is going to be good. I'm going to hold the God, brother, man, 3.5 hours of prayer. God is going to move. I will move mountains after this. I went, didn't even have a prayer list. I just went, oh, God, you're so good, dear Lord. Man, God, these buses reminded me of souls being saved, God. I kept on going on and on. I was done in like 7 minutes. And I said, Lord, I feel like singing a song. I feel like singing a couple of songs, and I started singing verses after verses and repeating my prayer, and by that time, I was done. I went ashamedly to my dorm room, and I just kind of like got kind of like emotional a little bit where I'm like, man, I'm such a loser. I'm a bus captain. We were averaging like 100 on our bus route, and I'm sitting here, can't even pray past 7 to 8 minutes. What am I going to do? What is everybody? And you start to get critical. I'm sure everyone else is not praying too. They can't be. I mean, I'm not. And I remember we went to the assembly, and Brother Boroff, he said, who's got a blessing? All these people raised their hand. I felt like I got a hold of God. Okay, great. Glad someone did. You know, man, I'm so thankful, dear Lord, for this time and the opportunity that I had to just put my schooling aside and be able to focus on God. Man, that's pretty cool. And then at the end, I felt convicted. I rose my hand. I said, man, Brother Boroff, I'm kind of embarrassed. I didn't pray very long. But throughout this time, I'm thankful that God used this to reveal to me my desperate need to grow as a Christian, my desperate need to grow as a prayer warrior. I needed help. I needed a lot of help. So number one, we see what is prayer. Number two, the elements of prayer. And lastly, the quality of our prayer. The quality of our prayer. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It availeth much. The quality of our prayer is far more important than the quantity of our prayer. It's very important there. I believe that everybody should operate off of a prayer list. And if you don't have a prayer list, I encourage you to have one. A teenager came to me last year and said, Brother Charlie, I can't pray past a couple minutes. What do I do? And I said, let me see your prayer list. He says, what's that? And then so I said, write down all your needs on a prayer list and come back to me and I'll help you create a prayer list. And then they came back to me. They said, I got a prayer list, Brother Charlie, but I can only pray for like 3 minutes. How do I pray longer? So I looked at his prayer list. It just said, pray for mom and dad, pray for church,
pray for this. I said, well, what do you want to pray for mom and dad? Write that down. Their health, write that down. All right, here we go. Their finances, write that down. All right, here we go. What else you want? I'll pray that, you know, they're able to do this. There's a couple of personal details. Write that down. What about the church? The new building? Write that down. Here we go. What else? The gymnasium? Write that down. The school? And he had this prayer list that was like three paragraphs, and it turned into like a couple pages. And I said, I want you to go home, and I want you to pray about that prayer list and come back. And he came back to me. He said he was able to pray for like 12, 13 minutes, and he was excited. You know why? Because he became more specific. A prayer list will help you pray more, and that's important. But we need to be careful not to replace quantity or put more emphasis in quantity than quality. Sometimes we fill our prayer list with so many things just to make ourselves feel better, and that should not be the goal. Letter A here, we should pray with fervency. We should pray with fervency. Fervency means very enthusiastically, very passionately. Our prayer should be passion driven. Now, you know, I think we have to be careful here, because the Bible says, you know, don't be yelling in the street for everyone to hear you for pride's sake, because I think it just seems that if we're not careful, everything can turn prideful. But I believe that we should be passionate in our prayer, mainly in our personal time. Now, if I'm praying with someone, I'm not going to be, oh, God, I'm not going to be doing all that. I remember there was a guy in Bible college, and my brother-in-law and sister might remember, I'm not sure. He was the loudest guy during prayer time. You know, everyone would pray. I mean, Brother Treber was even quiet, amen. But he, oh, God, you know. You know, God, what needs to be done. You know. And it was, man, we just stopped praying. Just, like, okay, here we go. Come on. Man, the guy, I don't know how many times he got kicked out of school. Okay, got in trouble. It's not about how loud you are, okay? However, but there ought to be a passion. There ought to be a passion within our hearts. A passion to talk to a holy God. A passion to pour out our needs before our God. A passion to see God work. I remember one of the few times I was withdrawn financially from Bible college, talked to Brother Jorgensen. He said, you know what? I don't think you prayed enough about it. Go pray about it. And that time, I was getting ready to call my mom and say, listen, mom, man, can I borrow like 600 and something bucks? No, it was more than that, like 800 bucks. Can I borrow that? And I didn't want to do that, though, because that was just my pride. Like, man, I came to Bible college. I didn't want to do that. I wanted God to meet my needs. And he told me to pray about it, so I prayed about it for a week. And then I remember in the little Romans Road, when I was in Bible college, there was like a little gazebo back there. I had a little time with God there. And then all of a sudden, I went to go check my mail afterwards. And I've never had this happen to me. You always hear about people having mail money sent to them. This never happened to me. And by the way, it hasn't since. I'm trying to use this as an illustration to let God know I appreciated it. And they gave me something from the state of California. I still don't know what it is to this day. It wasn't unemployment. It wasn't anything to that nature. And I opened it up. It was a check, like state controller's office. I forgot what it said. I should have took a picture of it, but I had like an old cheap flip phone, all right? But I remember it was $1,038. I ran to Brother George. I said, is this real? Is this a prank? He looked at it. I shouldn't have done that, all right? He said, let me look at this. I love you, Brother Jorgensen, all right? You're the best. And he looked at it. He goes, brother, go deposit in the bank. Let's see what happens. I deposited that thing. I was able to take care of my school bill and stay in school. But you know why? I think it's because of that passionate prayer time I have with the Lord. Maybe God is waiting for you to go to him with passion so that he can do something for your life. Not only should we pray with fervency, but we should pray righteously. Nothing will hinder prayer more than living in sin. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I even harbor thoughts of a desire to do wrong in my heart, God won't hear me. By the way, we can pray all we want, but if we allow sin to stay in our life, if we're doing something that we should not do, you can't expect your prayers to go past the roof. You know, sometimes people that are backslidden, they'll ask me to pray for them about things, and I'll be honest with you, I'll try. I just kind of cringe a little bit, like, I can pray, but you think God is going to answer my prayer when you're not even willing to confess what you're doing is wrong? I mean, God isn't a genie. I mean, maybe genies do that, right, if they're real. Like, you can rub the lamp, and then the genie will answer your prayer, whatever it may be, but God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. We need to live righteously. Let me skip a couple things here. Letter C, we should pray genuinely. Genuinely, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 7 says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much fair speaking. Prayer is not a ritual that we memorize and utter on a daily basis. Another embarrassing illustration. I remember in church education class, good night. I got to get right with God after this. I went up, Brother Trevor asked me, can you pray for our church ed class? Sure. Went up there as he did with everybody every single time we had class. Go ahead and pray, Brother Charlie. Go ahead and pray. So I started my prayer off with, Lord, thank you for another day of life. And shortly after my prayer, he goes, stop, stay right here. I'm like, what's going on over here? Why are you stopping me in front of everybody? He goes, what are you thankful for in the day that God has given you? I'm alive? Okay, what else? I'm a bus captain? Yeah, what else? I'm going to be a son today? Okay. And he by the way, very gracious in his rebuke, okay? It wasn't really a rebuke, but he was teaching us something. Many of us start prayer the same way every single time without thinking about it. You know why? Vain repetition. Vain repetition. Thank you, Lord, for another day of life. Thank you for all you've done for me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the food you've given me. And everything is the same. And because it's vain repetition, our heart is not in it. Our heart is not in it. So I pick on some of the students in our school, you know. Thank you for another day of life, Lord. I go, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? I'm thankful I get to be a... Okay, well, tell God then. Don't be afraid to let the Lord know what he means to you. I believe that this one point can revolutionize our prayer life. If we just work on being genuine, if we're not careful, we go to prayer very repetitiously, using the same words over and over again. I'm not sure how much my wife would appreciate that if I said the same thing to her over and over and over again. Lastly here, and we're done. We should pray in faith. We should pray in faith. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is more than willing to help, but he wants to help those that believe he can help, that truly believe he can help. Do you believe that God is the key to your marriage tonight? And I'm done. Do you believe that God is the key to your children tonight? Do you believe that God is the key to your health tonight? Do you believe that God is the key to your finances tonight? Now, my follow-up question is, how much have you proved it? Because if we believe that God was the key of the things that I'd mentioned, we'd probably have a few more pains in our knees from praying. We'd probably be spending a lot more time than we probably have been. I encourage you. Books are great. Counsel is wonderful. Preaching is great. Get on your knees and ask God to intervene in whatever it is that you need. If we're not praying, maybe it's because we just don't believe God can help. In closing here, how much do we rely on prayer? How much are we fascinated with prayer? How much do we really pray? For me, I told you in the beginning of the service, as a Bible college student and freshman, I was a bus captain. Our route was doing phenomenal. But at that time, I prayed for about 2 minutes a day. I'm not here to condemn anybody. But if our relationship with God is the most important relationship, we should probably spend more time in prayer. We should probably learn to talk to him more. God has a treasure box of resources. He's given us the key. If we're living in discontentment, suffering defeat after defeat, it's most likely because we haven't been on our knees accessing God's resources. We've been given the greatest tool on earth, and that tool is prayer. The quickest way to get a hold of God is through prayer. Let's utilize it. Let's pray this evening. Father, thank you so much for loving us enough to want to have a relationship with us. You could have saved us, but not only that, you saved us and you desire a relationship with us. Help us, I pray, dear God, to grow in this area of prayer. To pray more effectively by letting you know how much you mean to us. I believe, Lord, probably the greatest revival we can have in our prayer life is just a better recognition of how great you have been in our lives. Please bless our church family. Thank you for answering so many prayers in our church's history. Just think about all the victories you've given us, God. You are a God that indeed answers prayer. Bless us now, we pray.
In Jesus' name, amen.